We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also find me at Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Steph Salvia. Steph is the Executive Director for Brady Street's Business Improvement District and Historic Downer Avenue's Business Improvement District. Steph grew up out in Brookfield, Wisconsin, but her mom constantly took her and her brother down to Brady Street to buy imported Italian cheese from Glorioso's for her Sicilian grandma's meatball recipe. That sounds yummy. Sometimes they'd wander over to Downer Ave afterwards for a gelato at the former coffee trader. It's somewhat serendipitous that she ended up as a director for both of these amazing districts. Steph has over 15 years of experience in nonprofits, public relations, and outreach. She received her bachelor's degree from UW-Milwaukee and her master's degree from Mount Mary in Milwaukee. In her free time, she enjoys traveling with, and sometimes without, her family, local live music, CrossFit, and yoga. She's also a bit of a book nerd. Steph, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So what exactly is a business improvement district?
So a business improvement district is a special defined area where businesses pay a special tax assessment, a tax levy, and those funds get put into basically events or improvements for that specific area.
Okay. So you have the designated areas of Brady Street and the Historic Downers Ave, which to our listeners that are outside of Milwaukee, can you talk about just those areas a little bit?
Right. So Brady Street is about 10 blocks. It runs east to west from the river, almost to a lake. So it's from Prospect to about Van Buren. And then Downer Avenue is much smaller. It's just a couple of blocks, and that's a north-south district. And it kind of runs along the lake, but up on top, from Park Avenue down to about Bradford Avenue.
And your role is basically advocating the businesses and supporting them?
Yep. So, managing, contracting for things such as improvements, holiday lighting, and then all the events. You name it, kind of everything to just make sure that that business area is running smoothly.
All right. So what types of social media do you use with your bids?
So Brady Street's social really took off. I've been there about, this is going on my ninth year. And when I started there, Brady Street didn't have any really outlet. Facebook was kind of newer then. Twitter was newer. No one was quite sure what was going to stay or what was going to take off. And one of the things that I was charged with, because I was actually part-time communications help when I first started there, was trying to figure out how to kind of be out there in people's faces. Like, how do we remind people that Brady Street is here and we want them to come visit us? So I set up both Twitter and Facebook, and those accounts just grew pretty quickly. And I realized that, there were always new forms of social media that kept popping up. And I'm kind of old school and thought, you know what, I'm going to stick with a couple and just try to do them very well instead of trying every single different form of social media that pops up. So, we've just really kind of had fun with it. Twitter is really big for us. And I'm not an over-poster, if you will. I post not even every single day. In fact, I don't want to like ever feel like people are just bombarded. So I'm kind of particular about my messaging, depending upon if it's like an event or even something as simple as when the snow removal is going to be for the city. So, which
that's valuable information.
Right. Right. So I feel like if you post a bazillion times, then people aren't going to pay attention to the message. So that's something I've been working on as I've progressed through this, you know, position.
Sure. Good strategy to just kind of be the master of a couple channels instead of trying to, you know, take over all of them and not do them very well.
Yes, right.
Okay. So I'm going to dive into my questions now. And I'm going to start with, can you share with me your most successful or favorite networking story? I'm sure with all of your connections and the bids, you've got lots of good networking stories. I'd love to hear one of your favorites.
Well, I think one of the funniest was actually not too long after I started at Brady Street and had started up their Twitter account. And I don't know if you remember how there used to be tweet meetups all the time.
Yep, yep.
And Casablanca on Brady Street had decided to host a tweet meetup. And so people, you know, were talking about it on Twitter kind of all day long. And when I showed up at the tweet meetup, I had a little name tag on or whatever that said at Brady Street Bid, which is my Twitter handle. And this woman walks up to me and she's like, "You're Brady Street?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she goes, "Oh my gosh, I knew you were so interesting that you had to be a woman." It was just so funny. I'm like, "What? What does that even mean?" And she's like, "I don't know. I just had this feeling about who you were going to be when I saw you." And it was just so funny. Like, it's just, you know, I can't even describe it. It's just like so weird. Like, people get an impression of who you're going to be maybe on Twitter if you don't have a picture, because I always have a logo for Brady Street.
Yep.
So you never know, like, who's really behind that logo, right? Mm-hmm. So that was fun.
Yeah, that is interesting. So have you stayed in touch with this person?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We actually started kind of hanging out, and we'd go out sometimes and go see live music. She's a performer. She's a songwriter. Oh. So, yeah.
So you've obviously been engaging with her on social media and then just kind of built this, more traditional, not digital relationship as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's introduced me to a lot of musicians and local music is one thing I love about Milwaukee, and it helps me too for Brady Street Festival for booking all the music and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's really cool how that all kind of comes full circle.
Very cool. All right. So large or small, it's important to continue to connect with your network. How do you stay in front of or best nurture your network or community?
For me, it's a lot more social, I say, than like a traditional meetup or networking session per se. I feel like in this type of position, I could do something every single night of the week.
Oh, yeah.
And still not, you know, meet everybody that I could. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I meet someone new every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's just because of all the events or things that I'm interested in or things that I'm attending to get an idea, maybe for something I can use for Brady Street or Downer, or an event idea, or, you know, like I said, like a new musician. I think social is the best way for me to find out what's going on. And then it's not a traditional networking event if I'm attending even a fundraiser or something like that, but I'm still networking.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Well, fundraisers are a great way. It's something that you're obviously interested in and supporting the community.
Right.
And just having a presence in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So just showing up and having that presence is an easy way to stay in front of. So on social media, you mentioned your growth on Twitter. How large is your following right now?
It's about 12,000.
Wow. So for such a small area, you said 10 blocks on Brady and just the a couple blocks on Downer, and you've got over 12,000 followers. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's amazing.
Thank you.
What advice would you offer to the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
I think for me, one of the most important things I learned in the process of like growing a network is just being really honest. I think people can tell if you're fake through social. And if you're just your honest self, and maybe some people might not like my voice or some of the things I post because I'm super sarcastic. But it hasn't seemed to really hinder my experience on social. So I think I come across pretty real through social. And yeah. That's just how I am anyways. So
now, do you always stick to just the Brady Street Twitter handle, or do you have your own personal handle as well?
I have a personal one that I hardly ever use. Like, I don't even know when the last time I used it.
So your brand is really Brady Street.
It totally is. I started one for me at the same time thinking, oh, yeah, this will be great. I'll do both of these. And then I was like, oh, no, it's just not going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, it was so important to me to grow Brady Street that it kind of was like, oh, Steph Salvia, she's out there somewhere, but I don't know who she is anymore. Yeah. And it was like I'm the same person on Brady Street that I am, you know, on my own personal.
Sure.
So, I don't know. It just kind of fell to the wayside. It's still out there somewhere.
Well, and it seems like some people are, well, more and more people are learning that you're the face of Brady Street.
Right.
In the digital space.
Yeah, because I've been there so long, too.
Attended the events and right. fundraisers and
right.
and meetups. Okay. Well, so this is going to be really interesting to hear what your answer is here. Digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
I can't pick, you know, one over the other. Because
uh-huh.
I think they are so intertwined that you can't really separate them. You know, like I said, like you will meet someone on social and you'll end up seeing them at an event in person anyways. Or vice versa. It's like everybody is so connected. And especially in Milwaukee, with it being so small.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like most of our audience is like right within Milwaukee, Metro Milwaukee area.
Yeah.
So it's hard to pick like one or the other, I say.
It's really interesting because a number of people that I've had on the show, they've got a national reach or, you mm-hmm. know, a great following that's covering even an international reach.
Right.
And just to hear like, well, the small Milwaukee, you know, we've heard that.
It is.
And how you've had such success with such a small area in well, geography space, but in the digital space, I'm sure your borders are still pretty much limitless because people move, but they still want to follow what's happening, I imagine.
Yeah, right. We do have like posts sometimes, you know, saying, oh, I miss Brady Street, you know, so they know that they're still, if they've moved away or whatever, or they haven't even just been to the street in a while, that they're still paying attention to what's happening.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. I would say if you put it that way, then digital is probably could be more important because I'm not really often leaving Milwaukee because it's where I work and play most of the time.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
But traditional, it's fun to meet with the people.
It sure is.
Go to the local shows and yes. everything.
I love live music, so yes.
Well, Milwaukee's a great town for that.
Right, right.
All right, I'm going to move into some fun questions.
Okay.
If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
So I was thinking about what the heck was I doing when I was 20? And I think I was doing collections for a hospital.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, right? It was not a good thing for me. It was not a good fit. It was like corporate for me was really, really hard. But I think, you know, it obviously shaped me into who I am today. And I knew right then and there that I had to be somewhere where I could be more creative. But I remember just being mad all the time. Like, oh, I can't believe they're making me do this kind of stuff, you know? And now I think back and I'm like, wow, you sure were a grump. Like, you know, you should have just settled down and done your work and thought about what you wanted to be. Because I feel like when you're 20, how do you know what you want to be?
Yeah.
I mean, who knew I would be doing what I'm doing now?
I don't think anyone knows.
That's what I'm saying.
At 20 years old, what they're actually going to be
right,
doing down the
right.
road.
I had a roommate in college who I was so jealous of because she knew from the time she was like 5 years old that she was going to be a pediatrician. And she became a pediatrician. It's like, what? Really?
How does that happen?
I don't know. I don't know, because that is so not me.
Yeah. Well, not me either. I think I went through about 20 different things I wanted to be while growing
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Before I ended up here, which I never anticipated doing. So, what would you tell yourself differently then? What would you do? Just enjoy it a little bit more instead
instead of being so mad about it, just kind of realize that you're in a place where you're trying to figure out what it is you want to be. And when you're figuring that out, you don't need to be all grumpy about it and mad, you know, or get upset about like little things. I remember having to keep these productivity logs where you'd like make check marks for how many phone calls you got that day and how many you made and how long you were on calls. And it was like the most awful, tedious thing ever, and I hated it, but, you know, it's kind of something you have to go through until you figure out what the heck you're going to do.
I'm sure there's some lessons there, though, too, right?
Absolutely. Like you, for sure.
You learned something out of that. At least I hope you did.
Right.
Okay, so we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Who would be the one person you'd love to connect with, and do you think you can do it within the 6th degree?
Yeah, so you might think this is a little weird, but since I'm such a book nerd, I think I would love to meet Stephen King.
Okay.
Because not only is he an incredible author who can, like, scare the pants off you by something you're reading, but look at, like, the business that he has grown, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing to me what he's done with his career, and I'm betting, now that I'm thinking about it, so I was like, oh, who would I go to meet him? I would head right over to Boswell Books on Downer Avenue and talk to Daniel Golden there and be like, Daniel, hook me up. I got to meet Stephen King. And I'm betting he could figure it out and he could make it happen.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And you should definitely start that journey soon.
Right? I was thinking that. It's such a great question. I guess I never thought about it before. I'm like, I should do that, you know?
You should do that.
I think I'm gonna.
Well, you should circle back and let us know how that goes.
I will.
All right, so what books are you reading right now? I know that you're a big book nerd, and I am too, so I would love to know what books you're reading right now.
Right, so one of the books I'm reading is called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F***.
All right.
And the reason I'm reading this is because it seems like, and this could be just my perception, everybody is so obsessed with, like, always being happy. Like, it's a thing. Like, people feel like, oh, I got to be happy all the time, or that doesn't mean I'm successful. It's just such a weird thing to me. Or people are just uncomfortable if they're going through, like, a rough kind of time career-wise, and they're professional or personal. And I think that this book kind of says, hey, you know, you're gonna have a bad day sometimes, and that's totally fine. And so it kind of speaks to me, because sometimes I take things really personally, mm-hmm. In my professional life.
Sure. Yep.
And it's kind of hard to sometimes not let it just totally make you feel bad if you don't feel like you're doing a good enough job. Or so it's kind of, let's figure out how to balance this and know that it's okay, because this too shall pass.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh, totally.
You should check it out. It's super interesting, because it's totally a different perspective than what everybody's pushing down everybody's throats right now, which is, you better be happy.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep. And this is how to be happy.
Yeah. And there's all those books on how to be happy.
Yep,
it's like, what's going on here? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's really interesting. I mean, really, life in general is a roller coaster ride. So you've got your ups and you've got your downs, and you just gotta...
Right. So the better you are at just kind of knowing that and accepting that, the really happier you're going to be.
Yeah.
Not just like being so depressed because you don't think you're doing something right, or, you know, it's interesting.
I'm sure it is.
I am reading another book.
Oh, okay.
I'm always reading a couple.
Me too.
Called Small Great Things by Jodi Picoult.
Okay.
I usually actually don't read those books by that author because they're always very heavy duty. And I read right before bed, so I don't want to go to bed like super stressed out of my mind. Mm-hmm. But it's really good. It's a look at racism. So it's fascinating, heartbreaking, but uplifting all together. So
okay.
It's a good one to check out.
Definitely. We'll add that one to my list. So any final word or advice you'd like to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Just keep it real. Seriously, I think that's probably the best thing to connect with people, because mm-hmm. they'll know
yeah.
if you're not.
Yeah, I agree. People can smell a phony.
Right?
Yeah. See a fake smile. Hear a fake laugh.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
All right. So, Steph, if anyone is interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Shoot me an email. I'm bradystreetbid@gmail.com. That's probably the best way.
All right. Reach out on Twitter.
Twitter @bradystreetbid.
Okay. Well, Steph, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. That was so fun.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Steph Salvia for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building our community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.